I'll stand for them.
Now, do you have full service self-serve?
Jerry, how about being our invocator?
And listen, we are going to put In God, unlike that TV station with the singers.
Right. Unbelievable. You have my permission.
If you didn't see that, they had this whole group of singers, and they purposely left out In God.
Wow.
Which I can't believe. Lord, we're gathered here and working and understand the problems that we are facing, and we appreciate very much your oversight, your guidance, and the importance of that activities and our activities in the world today. We appreciate the fact that our new governor, Rick Scott, made this June the aviation month, and we should post that for all of our friends to see. I brought along a copy. And please help us and guide us with your great wisdom. Amen.
Amen. Thank you. I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the republic for which it stands, one nation, under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
That was CBS, by the way.
Boycott.
NBC.
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 NBC. Yeah. I'm sorry, you're right.
MSNBC?
No, it's NBC.
NBC.
NBC, yeah.
It's amazing what they had to cut out for time.
Oh. All right. We'll call Secretary.
Terry Crawford's not here yet.
Oh, Terry comes.
Oh, Terry.
We'll do it all over again.
Time. Continue with the roll call.
Randy Klein.
I'm having a mutiny here.
Chuck Savage.
Here.
Jerry Wolbrum.
Here.
We have quorum.
All right. Mr. Chairman.
I'll tell you, we shoot the walking moon.
My ears were burning from my afternoon.
All we did was indicate and pledge.
Okay.
Roll call is done. Item four,
the minutes from May 20th.
My only question was whether Andy was here or not, and I think it's the first one Andy's missed, but I don't know.
He was here, I believe.
There's Andy here in last meeting? No, all right, Paul says no. All right, I move the minutes to be approved.
Second.
Any discussion? All in favor?
Aye.
Aye.
Very approved.
Unfinished business.
So very unfinished business?
Yes, one item I'd like on the... it's my cause. So I want to get radar in the tower. So I would like you to urge the completion of this letter to Craig Chandler of the FAA with a copy to me so I can forward it to Congressman Stern's aide. I don't want another month to go by without that.
It won't.
And
you have the balance with that?
You gave it to me.
Yes.
Okay.
New business?
Comment? Excuse me, comment? Are you writing that as an individual or?
No, it's coming from I understand it's coming from the tower from you?
No.
Where's it coming from?
I believe I drafted it under Terry's name as chairman of the airport board.
You already drafted it? Am I missing something? There's already a draft out?
Yeah.
Then what? I'm confused.
Yeah, I believe I passed that out on the last. It was terminology issues.
Technical terminology.
Yeah, it was technical terminology issues.
So the letter's already been sent?
No.
It was a draft.
There was a draft, and there were some issues with some technical terms, and I didn't get with Bert before he left for vacation in time, and so we're delayed another week or so.
We had approved this as a council. That letter?
Yes.
Okay.
How much were we talking about? How much would that radar cost?
About 75.
You don't care.
I read
that.
About
75,000.
About that, yeah.
Yeah, well,
I mean, a small price for the safety. It's unbelievable.
I'll hand deliver it to the government.
Okay.
Okay. Well, I'll copy it to the board.
All right. So,
get the letter to me when I sign it, I'll take the original, I'll give you the signed copy back, and I'll take the original to Congressman Sterns when he's next available.
Okay, all right.
Yeah, so tell him how urgent the need is. It's not a safe situation, I mean, it's not an unsafe, but it's...
How urgent is it?
It would be an enhancement.
Tremendous enhancement.
I'll get that guy.
They don't know where you are. So, not good.
DOT grants?
Okay, under new business, well, first, that is our new logo. Ta-da.
Nice.
Turned out nice, I'm happy with it.
Does it have the brown background behind it, or did you add that?
I added that, that's just the background to the PowerPoint presentation.
So the logo would be just whatever color background you want?
Yeah, when we got it, it was a white background, I mean, it can, we can...
No tomato white.
There's no tomato on that background.
Yeah.
I mean, on the logo.
No, not even a tomato.
Not even a tomato.
When that puts us on half here, people are talking about the hydroponic operation in Ocala.
They're flying in those...
Okay, here we go. Here we go. The FDOT grants, there were four of them, three of them have been executed. The last one, the ALP update, was withdrawn. The ALP update was a primary part of the application to the FAA for the land release on the tomato factory. Because of the timing involved in that, and with state grants, you can't start a project with and expect reimbursement without the grant being executed. And since we are under a severe timeframe deadline with getting that land release application to the FAA, the city manager elected to forego the ALP update grant funding and fund it through some reserve monies that the city manager has available for these types of scenarios. So, ALP update, it was conducted. The aviation forecast update was conducted. I've got digital copies I'll be able to get to all of you. I don't have enough originals, full sizes to hand out. I'm happy with the way it turned out, so. But the other three, the wildlife plan, airfield blower, and the security upgrades have all been executed.
What is the airfield blower?
That is it's a tow-behind blower unit. It's a turbine, a twin turbine, and it'll help get the microparticles and the sand and the dirt, the dust off of the aprons and from out from within the recesses of the grooves of the runway.
It's a long blower on steroids.
Oh, you're not kidding. It pushes a lot of volume of air.
So Matt's trying to compete with NASCAR's blowers.
Those are jet engines. But.
Well, we were offering to have a 220 Continental be towed running the engine. But
it were.
So that'll be a great enhancement for the airfield. You know, we have a pull-behind sweeper, but it just doesn't get a lot of those little particles up. I'll tell you what, when the Honor Flight departed that morning, I mean, we saw that dirt and dust blow across the ramp. It's going to take care of that kind of scenario. So. Wildlife plan, actually, that will kick off here soon. That'll get developed. Just spoke with our consultant today about that. And then the security upgrades, had a pre-construction meeting on that this week, and that'll kick off sometime mid-July, is what we think.
That's having to do with the megaphone?
No. The security upgrades, we're going wireless with all of our gate systems. The cards will have pin pads on them, so it'll be a combination card reader pin.
The wildlife plan?
Oh, I'm sorry, I thought we were talking about the security plan.
Not the arm plan.
Okay.
Pilots are wildlife, so that can qualify.
Okay. The wildlife plan is part two of our mitigation efforts. The first part was a year-long study basically identifying potential wildlife hazards on the airport that was concluded. The next step is conducting the plan, developing the plan, and then submitting that to the FAA for their approval. It is a requirement of Part 139 for airports such as ours.
For endangered species or just wild animals?
Anything really. I mean, gopher tortoises, we've got wild boar, we've got red-tailed hawks, haven't seen any eagles.
Burrowing owls, right?
We've got some burrowing owls, yeah, so it's everything. Horses.
Coyotes, too.
There's some coyotes out there, too, so it's how to deal with those. And then security upgrades, that'll kick off in about a month or so. And like I said.
What does that entail?
We're redoing all the gate controllers. It'll all be wireless. We'll be able to update all the gates from one computer instead of having to go to each one individually and update. Say, if you lost your card, we'd have to go to every single gate and zero out your card for each of those gates. Very time intensive, labor intensive. So we're going wireless, adding some PIN pads. So you'll have to swipe your card and enter a PIN. We're installing security cameras. Two pedestrian gates, one at Quest, one at or the flight school, and then one at the FBL.
Yeah, keypad kind of gates.
I believe so. Yeah, keypad and card.
So you would be able to give the FBL an entrance key, so if somebody came in the middle of the night, they would be able to. Mm-hmm. If you knew they were coming, they could get off the airport. Right now, they can't.
Don't they have a car too?
No, I think
they're
working in the No, in the Walker gates, you can have a keypad for a flight, so you can give them a 4 or 5-digit code for that one night to get out.
You had somebody who was coming in the middle of the night, which periodically happens, you could give them the code so they could actually get off the airport, because now they can't.
Yeah, either or.
Gainesville had something like that, where you had to put the key code in a way so your gate, and once you went through the closure, you could get back in. And that could be actually, you change it fairly often and leave that code available to people that use the keypad from the inside. Because the main thing is to get out, getting back in becomes another problem. But, you know, if you're in the middle of the night, you don't have a pass, you can't get off the airport.
Well, this will help alleviate that. So, and it's it's 100% grant from the FAA. Oh, I'm sorry, from the state. Now, we did have a meeting with the state this morning. They came out and kind of gave us the outlook on grant funding for the next few years. Things are getting tight. The terminal project is safe. We had some reserve money put aside for other projects. We're probably going to lose some of that, but it shouldn't impact some of the more important projects that we want to get done, like the next year, we're looking at an airfield painting project that would get funded from that. We're also looking at an addition to this building that would house the airport rescue and a firefighting vehicle. That's pretty high on the priority list. Trying to get that vehicle here on the airport. We'll work with the state on the grant funding in that for that project as well. So, and that would come out of that reserve fund. Grant money next year for the terminal would pretty much take care of the design of the terminal if we go that route.
What is the status of the terminal now?
We encouraged, at the end of the RFP that we issued, we've encouraged Landmark Aviation and Dunphy, which was a land developer, to basically sit down and work together. We did receive a proposal back from Dunphy after their meeting. We're just going through vetting that proposal now. I know it's gone through several different staff eyes, so we'll take it to the next level.
Well, it's got to be an agreement with the FBO to be valid. The way that we left it, because I was part of this.
Right.
Because the two of them had to agree on that, you know, if the current FBO is not willing to lease it for the next 7 years,
yes,
then the project has no validity whatsoever, unless we just want to build it.
Well, apparently they've come to that agreement, because they've been sitting down for about 6 weeks talking about it, and the proposal that we got was a result of that conversation.
But then we can't use that money that we have to design it.
That's correct, if we go that route. So when it comes down to it, you know, if we take it to council and say, we've got this proposal between Landmark and Dumphy, they want to partner up and build the terminal, and this is what it's going to cost us, or we can do it this way, and we have the grant money in place. And ultimately, the council's going to have to decide what route to take.
I think as a board, we might want to discuss that and talk to that, because here's a situation, just from y'all's perspective. The terminal we have right now, the one that Landmark's in, was built by the city. We had FDOT, and matching money. And we got the funds together and built that in total, then leased it back to the FDOT. So a percentage of that building where the conference room is actually set aside out of that arrangement for public use. And we do that at a time or two, and that helps. But the building actually belongs to the city and is leased back in the long-term arrangement, which allows us to use those monies. If we do this other terminal the same way, we could use those monies and we could build to a terminal that would be planned for future expansion. Right now, they're talking about the terminal size roughly equivalent to what Landmark has, what the air room car people have in some expansion. But to me, there wasn't a whole lot of expansion than what the square footage that Landmark has and the square footage that, I mean, it's a get-by kind of deal. You go up there now, the three rental car companies, and what's going on? I mean, it totally fills up that space. You're totally filling up your space. You need a flight factor because you're talking, we've been this other building now 20 years. You know, you're got to look further down the road. So if they're going to build it, if a developer Dunkey's going to build it, they're going to become a landlord, so they're building it for a return on investment. The FBO is not going to want to build a building any larger, any much larger. That's what they have to have because they don't want to lease a lot of extra space. So you can come up with a plan, I suppose, to lease the extra space to rental car companies or whatever the city does. But you know, you really can't take advantage of the federal funding at that point in time, state funding, which I think may go away anyway, like, you know, where they're going to Tallahassee, where they're going to Washington. I truly believe that a lot of the funds that we've seen are going to be air dry to a certain extent, maybe tough. But the way I'm doing it, where the city owns it, the city can plan it, and we can look and say, okay, we can build a terminal, we can build an extra 30% in terms of square footage into the thing. We're responsible for that. We lease it out in some way, shape, or form, if you have a drawing room. There's a lot more sense to me the city would do in the long run to have a terminal that we plan, we construct it, and we look toward the future in, as opposed to a developer for profit and a FBO who is there for a length of time trying to lease as little space as they can for their small amount. They don't want the atrium lobby to really is the wow effect of the community. They may not want to buy and pay for it. I'm just using that as an example. That becomes the city's priority. Does the city want this wow factor? Maybe we do. So those things all seem to me to be at odds with one another. To me, the same plan that we have building the terminal we now have, but the city buys it, plans it, builds it, and leases it, or portions of it back, seems to be a lot more valid. And this RFP process got caught up in three different bidders, three different entities. One wanted to do an FBO totally from the ground up, one wanted to extend the lease, and the other was for Dumphy, who was a for-profit, basically a shopping center builder, and who wants to build a commercial building for a return on investment and lease it back even to the city or the FBO. So that really, we didn't really get what we wanted out of the RFP, but we got something. So none of the answers that we got were what we wanted. They kind of compromised and they come up with a decision to take two of the three, let them work together, and maybe come up with some other form of compromise. We're kind of sitting by letting all this happen. It's kind of like watching a train wreck. You know, there's nothing. And I think that as a board, we need to take a position and say, we recommend that the city look at the opportunity of building as we have in the past. And planning and building and leasing back a terminal meets the criteria that needs of the city locale, the future of our airport, as opposed to allowing a commercial developer and an FBO to plan what that terminal is going to be. If you follow my directions.
How much would it cost?
I agree with you.
Yeah, but how would you finance it?
Well, the part of the financing of it is, you can finance it through bonds, you can finance it otherwise. You just decide, you get part of the money from the FDOT, you would finance it the same way you finance the other one, and then by leasing it back to the tenant.
We have $2 million from FDOT through the year 2013.
Which we're not going to be able to use if we go with the program.
Right, so, well, if a tomato deal goes through, you can build a nice one, huh?
Well, yeah, we have plenty of money.
Keep in mind, Matt's going to get revenue from the America's Far and Fresh, that's the city match. So DOT funds come back into play, it's the Dunphy landmark funds that may not be needed.
Assuming all, I'm not going to spend any of that money yet, but assuming all of that.
Yeah, but I think you need to wait also till you see Dunphy landmark proposal and look at it.
Proposal, it's just the concept of the proposal. Because the concept of the proposal can't be as good to me. When you go out to a for-profit developer, which we're doing, so he's taking a profit out of it, he's not going to be in the business, he wants a return on his investment.
Correct, there's return on investment.
The FPL needs to lease it, and they're not going to lease any more land or space, spend any more money than absolutely have to at home. So you have two factors that are not in the best interest of the city.
Yeah, but Dunphy's also looking at bringing an anchor restaurant, which is there he needs.
But that's how anybody can anchor a restaurant. Who cares about a restaurant?
Look what's around here, there is no, where do you?
Well, they haven't got one yet.
Yeah.
What airport in the state of Florida's got an anchor restaurant? The GA. Don't think of one.
Not enough population to get an anchor restaurant here.
You know, fun. So I mean, they talk like that, we do all this stuff, but there's not one anywhere else in the state of Florida.
There's not the traffic.
So I mean, that might happen, but we could do that too, there's nothing, you know, we could get Red Lobster, put it upstairs, restaurant at their caliber, if there was enough people to come there and use it.
Yeah, I don't think I could get one there.
But that to me is not a, not a large factor in terms of the decision. The decision we have to make is, do we want to do something, look at 20 years down the road, or 25 years down the road, as opposed to something that just doesn't really make sense for us?
Most terminals are owned by the municipality, or they built, well, they're not, I mean, they're all kinds of things here.
Yeah, it's probably split 50-50, I mean, some of them build their own.
They all revert back eventually.
The FPL might build it, it will revert back. But Dunphy's a new part of the equation, they're from off the airport, they build shopping centers, now to build up on this end of the property, do commercial space or something, to take the risk to find the tenants or restaurants for that, that makes a lot of sense. To go with Dunphy. But to go with them and build a common use facility for the airport.
What kind of money is the city making on those car dealerships that are down there?
We're getting minimal on the terminal space. We make our revenue through the 3% per rental car fee that we get from them.
Yeah.
It's well over $100,000 a year.
Yeah.
So that would continue with
that. Hey, and you know what?
Yeah, that would continue.
If we decided we wanted to raise it to 150, which you see how the airports do, they just go to 5% on the rental fee.
But it's
a pass-through to them.
We've considered that, but there are a lot of other, like Enterprise has like 11 different locations in Ocala. If we get too expensive, they'll just consolidate to another location. It's not like we have a captive audience like Tampa International.
I'm not advocating doing that, but it seems to make sense that people think about a rental car, and they weren't going to go to a rental car, they go to the airport.
Right.
So they come to the airport, so we're somewhat benefiting from Tampa International. Sure, you got a rental car in Tampa?
Well,
I'm not advocating right now, but what I'm saying is that's a pass-through, because in Tampa you go up there and they're probably going to 7. Yeah.
Well, by the time we have our next meeting, the funding for next year should be solidified. We'll start the new budget year for FDOT. We'll understand the terminal financing a little bit better. We'll have a more clear understanding of the proposal from Dunphy and Landmark. And I'll bring it back to the board. I'll update the board on specifics.
Is there a date certain that Dunphy and Landmark are going to talk about?
It was not talked about, not established.
Well, I think we need to hurry that along. They need to make a decision at some point in time.
Well, we do.
Almost 6 weeks.
We do, for the mere fact that we've got grant money available July 1st for design of the terminal. And timing-wise, if we enter into that grant for design build of a terminal, it'll take 6 to 8 months to get it all through the process and permitted and done. By that time, the rest of the grant money for the terminal will be available, and we can actually start vertical construction.
If we could put a motion on the floor today by somebody who cannot move it, to let the city council know that the airport needs an answer to what's going on in terms of the current RFP, but be on record that the airport board is in favor of the city owning the terminal, building and leasing the terminal back, and planning it in a way that will have a better long-term impact for the airport. So if somebody's willing to do that, and you all feel that way about it, that's fine. If you don't, if you just let it out.
Why don't you propose it then? Because you can put it in the restaurant. Okay. Let's play it again.
He was working.
He probably made about $500.
I've got one.
Was that a legal maneuver?
Prices at the office.
I do the same thing. So I'm
dealing with it.
Probably. I'm guilty of sin. I just keep on working. But a motion that would say...
The only way I can go to these things.
Exactly.
I should have said honestly, I wasn't paying attention to a word you said. Can you say that?
But basically, we need a motion that essentially asks the city council to arrive at some kind of juncture or at some point we get an answer relative to the RFP now, which seems to be floating. Because there's no time frame set on the RFP for dumping and landmark.
Well, isn't it rather that the board recommends that they don't accept the RFP?
Well, that's probably what we want to do.
We haven't received it, so how can you not?
Yeah, so how can you not?
I mean,
Okay, I think that's probably a better time.
Well, Bill's point is well taken. We haven't seen it yet.
Yeah.
So what's there to vote on?
Well,
may I make a suggestion?
I think the thing that we're talking about, but sorry, Glenn.
I think maybe it's the sense of the board that we ought to build our own FBO.
Yes,
our own terminal.
Our own terminal, lease it back, as opposed to working through a for-profit developer and the FBO in terms of any kind of agreement.
Okay.
All
right. Why don't you pass the gavel so you can make that motion. I mean, I can state it, but it's your.
Yeah, we got the motion from Randy. Randy, actually.
Well, what do you want the? It's a motion that we convey to the city of Ocala our desire that the city build its own terminal rather than have a third party.
Plan and build, and then with the idea of leasing it back to the FBO and other tenants.
I'll second that.
Now that, you know, I wouldn't mind for discussion purposes. I mean, that's assuming Landmark, our existing FBO, is not interested in building one large enough to accomplish that. Because I haven't heard what Landmark...
They were interested in building it. They submitted a proposal to build it, but the RFP group turned that down. They like the idea of the consensus of that was, the dumping to build it and add a profit. Here's the problems associated with it. Dumping's not going to do it for free. They're in the development business. So they're going to do it, they're going to add a profit and take a profit out of the airport for developing the property.
The other side of the issue is it would take capital.
And none of the capital. We have some capital, but we won't be able to use it.
We wouldn't be able to use it for anything if we don't build a terminal. The money for the terminal, a small portion of it would be available. Parking lot improvements, maybe some drainage infrastructure, but nothing vertical.
Okay.
We essentially lose it for anything that would be needed.
Just off again, what's the estimated cost of the terminal, the Taj Mahal you want to build?
Well, like $3 to $4 million was the numbers.
Four million. All right. So the FDOT grants $2 million that we could put that. We have half of it.
Yep.
And the other half might come from the
it would come from the tenants, just like we get it from the rental cars, we get it from the...
No, they'd have to capitalize that. I mean, they'd have to borrow it or use it from the sale of assets, which might be...
If, there are a couple options. We could get it from tenants and it would be charged as prepaid rent, or the city could match it on their own and then just lease the space out like they're...
Any landlord's gonna look at what's the return on the investment. If you put $4 million into a building, what would the city realize from it? That they wouldn't realize if it was built by somebody else.
Well, first of all, the return on investment is going to be dumping. In the current scenario, it's going off the airport, it's not being used in any way. Return on investment that we would have would essentially be tied back to the airport. Plus, we would be able to build a terminal, and I'm not advocating to build a thousand homes, but we'd be able to build a terminal that would be better suited for the long run than I think what we're gonna get out of a plan where you get the least amount of space that you can get by with, and they spend the least amount of money they can spend, so they get the return on investment and you get the space.
I think it's, with all due respect, I think it's premature to see what they come up with.
But the things you said here, it's been...
Well, they haven't come up with it. When's the deadline for them?
There is no deadline.
Are they putting together a proposal?
It's a problem.
I didn't attend the meeting, but I know they met.
It's been 6 weeks and it's just, we don't have any word from anybody yet.
There was, we had thought it was gonna be early June and the negotiations are hopefully coming to fruition.
Let's table it for a moment.
Is this still open for discussion?
Sure, it's still open for discussion.
I really hate to agree with Terry, but...
At least I know where I stand.
I feel that if you put... that we would lose control of all of the incidentals involved in having a building of that type if we don't own it. And if we're not the owners, we have lease orders and still VCs. And I feel that this way you have the control that you need to operate a building on our airport. And that is my specific recommendation in that area, which follows Terry's thought. We don't want an outsider owning the building, but then we have to come to him and say, look, we need to do this, we want to do that, and you're going through a whole different set of rules. I just really feel that, and that's just basically the whole thing. We need to have the control of that building and the ability to do what we need to do as an airport.
What does Lakeland do?
They own there.
That's the FBO's in there and the restaurant that used to be.
And one of the problems is right now, we talked about that earlier and I've forgotten, the time's running out in terms of the design phase process of it. And the other part of that is we leave a couple $1 million on the table that we've already got corralled that could go a long ways toward building a building that would be ours and wouldn't have the profit of an off-site developer involved.
My suggestion would be to wait another month until we get the official proposal, and then I can bring it back and we can vet it out and look at the numbers and compare it to what the grant funding would be and the timing and all that.
I think the city would say the same thing.
The proposal's gonna come anyway, the way I see it.
I think the motion would mean more if there was a proposal you were making a motion in response to.
But the proposal, no matter what the proposal is, it's going to be relatively the same.
Don't prejudge it. You're prejudging it. I know it's going to be from an outsider.
Well, the minuses are it's from an outside developer dumping.
Yeah.
They're going to be extracting the profit from it because they want to return on their investment to be in the business, which is fine. We're going to leave $2 million on the table that we're not going to be able to spend. We're going to have a terminal that's designed exactly to the needs of today, and we're dumping the FBO see as their requirements. We're not going to be able to look forward and design it toward our 25-year needs for the building. And that's the same thing that's happened to us up here. The building we built up there, the city built, and we just built it to the bare essence of the needs, and you don't have enough room even now. So that's my point. And the council right now is looking to us for leadership. The RFP process I was part of, I would have to tell you, it was not the exact time. Nothing like that is, but it's not the exact time. So I don't, you know, it's a philosophical thing. If we're going to change our philosophy just because they come back with a proposal, I don't think it can be, the council can look at that, but I just think we ought to be on record, that was my point, that we really feel like the city owning and building its own terminal is in the best interest of the airport from our perspective. What the city council does with it is entirely up to them. That was the point. I'm not doing anything other than just going on record and saying, hey, this is how we see it. We're not specifically directing them on what we do.
I think it'd be more persuasive if we responding to a, if they don't put a proposal by, together by next month. You're going to have to respond to a proposal anyway next month. So it seems to me at the same time, you'd say, if you're so inclined, after seeing that proposal, that you don't favor, you think the city ought to do it, then it would be more appropriate then.
Well, then you could withdraw your.
I didn't make.
You did?
All right, I'm sorry. I don't think I did. If I make one, I withdraw.
If I did, there's a chair, I'd make a motion by ballot.
All right.
I would draw a second, but you could make another motion. Okay, so that would withdraw, all in favor of withdrawing both of the motions, say aye. If anybody else wanted to make a motion, you could. Maybe put it that way, or we'd like to.
I think, Bill, that your point is good, and I think the city would probably be willing to build a larger facility with some planning for the future that a private individual might not want to do. I want to take the risk.
Well, you know, if nobody else thinks we need to be on record in favor of that, then we'll go.
Not right now.
Hearing a comment, we'll go forward. That was all the grants.
Yeah, that was all the grants. Just want to talk about Honor Flight quickly. Great showing. It was it went smooth from an airport perspective. These are our new passenger stairs, newly acquired about two days before the event. They work great. They showed well. It operates seamlessly. We're going to try and take advantage of those as much as possible.
Where do you store it now?
In a T-hanger.
In a T-hanger?
Inside, yeah, out of the weather. Mm-hmm. So, Terry, do you want to say any words?
Yeah, I just wanted to, on behalf of the volunteers, and there are a lot of volunteers, a lot of time, effort, and energy put into that from the volunteer standpoint, Maury Deans, in particular, Maury stepping down as the chairman of Honor Flight. He's done three of them, and he's quite frankly, put more of himself into it than it was really, fair for anybody to be doing. And, to be ordered because of the scheduling. We have a tentative schedule for a flight in October. In the last Tuesday, Wednesday, or Thursday, I think it was in October. And it's still a tentative schedule. We won't know those days. But on behalf of the volunteers that worked out, I want to thank, the airport, particularly Wayne and his guys, because they were out there all hours of the day and night, pushing and touching and doing an awful lot of things to make that happen. And Matt for helping to get us the stairs and the gate. We opened up a gate that had been closed up in some fencing process, and I think it was helpful. It was very helpful in terms of what we did. I think long term it's going to benefit the operational side of the airport, just from being able to access it more easily. So we have a couple of tangible things that came from the last flight, the stairs and the gate. Hopefully we're all set for the future. And 104 veterans went. Everybody came and went safely, no falls, no bumps, no bruises. They came back, not anybody was here when they came back other than a group of us that were working part of it, but they looked like a bunch of kids that come back from Disneyland when they came down the steps. So it was very, very worthwhile. thanks again for all your help and cooperation.
We want to be sure the airport logo is on it the next time, so.
Yeah.
We get credit.
We put a nice honor flag logo on it to make it work.
Did you? Good.
And we didn't leave the sides bare, we fixed it.
That worked out well. All right. Just want to give a construction update. AIP 22, that's airfield lighting and signage project, about 80% complete. We're moving into phase three this week, which is the north end of Taxiway Alpha. Right now, we're looking at throwing the switch live in the middle of July. So we'll have taxiway lights by then. And then Southwest 67th Avenue, we're still looking for a November completion.
Or sooner.
Or sooner.
It'll rain, so they're making hay.
Whoops. Wrong way, sorry. I got a new toy. And I wanted to show everyone, we actually videotaped the road. It's paved all the way up to essentially the crosswind runway. It's mounted fairly low on the bumper. We're only doing about 20, maybe 30 miles an hour. It looks a lot faster, especially when you start passing the equipment. But it's power lines are all in, the street lights are in. They're sodding it right now.
Where's the runway? Have you passed it there?
Nope.
Headed north?
We're northbound right now.
Oh, northbound.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, we started just around the corner from the ARF facility.
Looks like a hell of a lot.
So Project Tulip would be on the left as you're driving.
Where's it going to hit the road for the dumpsters? I know it's supposed to have a light on 40, but it looks like it's going to hit closer to where the dumpsters are.
It swings around and eventually uses that curb cut.
Okay.
Yeah.
Yeah, the entrance won't change.
You see lots of mailboxes on that Sunday, huh?
Same connect point.
Right. Yeah. But I mean, I'm just wondering about for the dumpsters, they have to redo the gating area to a different area.
Yeah. Yeah.
Okay.
Coming up on the sweeping left-hand turn, this basically stays outside of the VOR area. VOR is right back over here. Now we're coming up on the threshold, or the extended center line, basically, of the crosswind runway. This is the final overhead pole. Everything goes underground from here, and then it'll pick back up on the other side of the crosswind runway.
Cool. We're running out of asphalt, we quit paving. Why did they do that?
This is the start of phase two. They're still clearing the trees and getting it ready. It looks like they still have to bring all the lime rock in for it as well. That's it.
Yeah.
Nice. Any questions on the construction?
Good.
Fuel and operations. We've got monthly and year-to-date listed through May. Avgas still staying relatively flat. Jet fuel had a nice increase compared to the previous year. Total on the month, we're up 16.3% compared to May of 2010. But when you still, when you look at the year-to-date numbers, we're still trending negative. January 2011 was the first positive month we had in over 2 years. So there's over 24 months of negative fuel sale numbers aside from this January 2011, and it's still dropping. Not very encouraging.
Do you mind me taking the fuel?
Yes. The fire tankers have been taking the fuel also.
Oh, so they're in the area.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I worked out a cost-plus program. In Miami Air, I basically do it for just a couple of processing fees.
They have contracts where they're buying it?
No, I do it. If I do it through contract, they have to pay more, so I do it, I direct bill them. Mm-hmm. And then that way, if it goes through a contractor, the contractor's going to add a fee on.
So this way,
Fuel sales, I'm sorry, fuel prices. You've got Avgas on the left, jet fuel in the center, and self-serve Avgas on the right. It looks fairly consistent from the previous sampled months.
What is Dunellen? Is that the cheapest fuel?
Self-serve at Dunellen is $4.75. Now, I don't know why Flagler ended up there. It was sorted. Flagler's $4.80.
But Dunellen's still the cheapest in the state?
Pagefield is. Pagefield at $4.66. Self-serve. That's the Port Authority owned FBO. So it would go Pagefield, Dunellen, Flagler, and then Williston. As far as full serve, we're looking at Kissimmee, Williston, Pagefield, and then Lake City. Jet fuel, Williston, I'm sorry, Kissimmee, Williston, Lake City, and then Daytona. Operations are, they're looking all right. You can really see our busy time of the year with the corporate jets. If you look at February and March, the IFR itinerant operations are up a couple hundred operations for each of those months, and they drop back down. Looking at the previous year, that was pretty consistent as well. Our
April and May also don't have as much IFR weather, so some of those reflect the canceling, not landing and making the approach.
Could be, yeah. The overall, the operations are still trending at about 55 to 65,000 on the year. We're members of the Contract Tower Association. It's a alphabet group through the American Association of Airport Executives, and we get the newsletters. Their most recent newsletter summarized the current funding situations for contract towers, realizing that operations across the country have decreased significantly. There are waivers requested, and there's negotiations basically ongoing right now, budget negotiations, to try and give relief to some airports, if not all of them, that have fallen below the 1.0 BC analysis. If you recall, if you score 1.0, you don't pay into the program. It's 100% funded. But below that, after after the initial 2 years, if they do an audit and you're below 1.0 on the BC analysis, the benefit cost analysis, you would have to pay a proportionate share up to but not more than 20% of the cost. For us, that would be $60,000. That'd be a $60,000 hit. I don't think we would see that this year. Let me rephrase that. I don't think we would see that after May of 2012. They may hit us in 2013 if operations stay low like this.
What's the threshold, 100,000?
It's, no, not necessarily. It's, they weigh the total number of operations, but they also look at who's making those operations and what your fleet mix is. Are they at night? Is it during the daytime? Is it jets mixing with single pistons, approach speeds,
air carrier,
military, helicopters? It's all, they have some magic formula that comes up with their ratio. But it's hard to refute when our operations are at 55 to 60,000 a year.
Yeah.
We need to do some touch
up. I was asking if, you know, the honor flights are getting
that
the
helps.
Emergency teams to come in and so forth. It may help in that, but as far as traffic counts, they count Randy's J3 Club Cub and that 737 still as a one mover.
Although, well, but the 737 is an IFR itinerant. You know, I'm not sure how that scores.
But it's got to help the score.
I think it does.
That makes sense. So I think we're working now, or, you know, we're talking about trying to get a hold of the various universities who, mm-hmm. Now we got stairs.
We got stairs.
That was our big big problem before. So getting as many of them to fly in here as possible.
Yep.
Would certainly be nice.
Jerry, operations on the crosswind are looking good. They're up significantly.
I hear them offer that more and more often.
Yeah. Yep.
You know, I'm just sitting here thinking free business, free enterprise, automobile business, but we have an expense factor that can't change. In other words, production is going and you don't want to shut production down. What do you do is that you come up with a bonus program, as you see, you know, they'll offer you $1,000, they'll offer you $1,500 to buy a car this time in order to keep things going, because it's more expensive than shutting everything down.
Sure.
Maybe what we need to do is subsidize the gas price in order to keep the traffic up.
Well, I can bring that back to the board again. I actually made that recommendation. We were looking at T-hanger subsidies. Or maybe offsetting, rather than, reduce the T-hanger fee somewhat, or include maybe a $20 certificate for a tank of gas that we would then pay the FBO, subsidize it somehow, just to encourage flying. So we can revisit that and bring it back to the board again.
Well, it's all part. Now, you do have a restaurant. So we do have the advantage of getting traffic for the restaurant. And if we had a bonus weekend every so often, fly in and gas would be $4 a gallon instead of $5.50 or $5.70, suddenly you'd have a lot of people. You'd have a fly-in program with a nice discount. I bet you even Terry would pull his out and have it gas.
Well.
Why not? I don't know, how does that proceed with it? I see you frowning on that.
Well, if it was self-serve, I wouldn't have enough people to do full serve. If people came in $4 a gallon, that's basically the cost. I mean, seriously. I mean, they'd be lined up waiting to get fuel.
Yeah, we'd be paying more money than I call pay too, so we need to think about that.
I mean, that's a drastic cut. I mean,
no, I understand, and I'm just, that's what it's going to take to bring some traffic into the place and get things moving, is you're going to have to be able to compete with the Dunallens and the Williston's, because that's where all the guys
are. We're only, right now, this month, we're only 200 gallons off 2010 on that gas, and we're 3,000 gallons jet. So
in that case, if the FAA hits us up for $60,000 participation on the tower, I'll send you a bill for half of it. All right, development update.
Well, then what you need to do is to assess your people. You've got to assess the fixed base operation. You got to assess the radio station. They're going to get traffic. They're going to get additional visibility. So they kick in a little bit too. That would make Paul's eyes open up a little bit.
Oh, yeah. That'll put me in a bankruptcy real quick.
All right. Development update. You spoke in length on the development proposal from Dunphy and Landmark. American Fresh Farms, they were approved by council. 2 days after that approval, the application for the land release was hand-delivered to the FAA. It was 2 weeks ago, actually today, that was delivered, and several calls were made down to the FAA. None have been returned. I don't have an update on their review process. I'm going to wait once again until tomorrow, and I'll make a couple more phone calls, and without any response tomorrow, then I'm going to recommend that we start having other people contact them, political people, and push it forward. On the warehouse, quite a bit of interest in that. I'm getting a call just about once a week from different people interested in leasing the warehouse space. We've showed it many times, but we're not getting any follow-up on it. We did hire Stephen Albright to conduct an appraisal of the facility and help us establish a rental price for it. He's doing that appraisal as we speak, hopefully get that in a couple weeks. I just showed it today to a very interested party, so we'll see where that goes. I'm also getting interest on the corner property on 60 and 40 right over here. Stephen Albright is also doing an appraisal on that property as well. The last time we had numbers on that was back in 07. Things have changed significantly since then. We need to find out what that's worth. So, any questions on that?
Who's expressed interest in the corner property?
He didn't say. One person was inquiring on behalf of a party to be named, and then the other individual, it was by name only, and honestly, I didn't recognize it.
Oh, a Burger King in one time.
It wasn't the camps.
Have you ever asked them what they're there?
I haven't, but when I get the appraisal, yeah. I'll give Kevin a call. Right. Uh-huh. Mr. Camp.
Kevin's fine.
Okay. We're being recorded. All right. That concludes my presentation.
Okay, so there's any more questions up here? Who's in the audience? Anybody on the agenda or off the agenda? Comments by individual board members?
That's all right.
No?
No.
Okay.
Fly more. Let's go fly more.
Let's go fly more.
Matt, you want to tell them about your new website?
I had hoped that we would go live with the website by the meeting. That's yet to be. It's probably going to be a couple more days. But I will send an email out to everyone once it's up and live. But with the logo and everything, it looks sharp. I think you'll be really happy about the website.
What's the address?
OcalaAirport.com. Yeah, a lot of work, okay. But I think you'll
enjoy it. Motion to adjourn.
Second.
We stand adjourned. I see what we're going to do.
Well, Mary, once again, you bring up a very good point.
Oh, come on.
very good point, but I think that we will try to put something ahead.